And thank you, Molly and praise team. Bethany's been fighting a cold for some time, so Molly led for her this morning. Hope you feel better, Bethany, but glad you're here. Thank you all so much. Did a fantastic job. Again, great to be with you this morning. We're so excited about the opportunity to be together. We're looking forward to this special day with the children's play this evening. And great singing this morning. Fantastic. Just love that. Take your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 7. We'll start here, Isaiah chapter number 7 and verse number 14. Isaiah 7 and verse number 14. Throughout the month of December, we're talking about, obviously, the celebration of the birth of our Savior. And this is the time where we understand there's different ideas and different things that come place, but it is the time to take place. But this is the time where we remember that Christ has come into the world to save mankind from their sins. So Isaiah 7:14, the Bible says this: "The Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and call his name Emmanuel." And we recognize that the name Emmanuel means God with us. The greatest thing that has ever happened for mankind is the Lord Christ coming to the earth to give his life for our sins. Just the song we just sang, it talks about the presence of God and how we're undone in the presence of God and how our guilt falls off. And the only way that your guilt falls off in the presence of God is because of Jesus Christ. If you stand before God without Christ as your Savior, your guilt will not fall off. It will be seen and realized. Christ is the Savior. Christmas is the time we celebrate Jesus who came to the earth to pay a penalty that we could not pay, to forgive us of a debt that he did not owe but that we owed. And if you study the Old Testament or even portions of the New Testament, you find that without Jesus Christ in the presence of God, you have no hope. You cannot say anything. There's nothing you can do in his presence because God is holy, righteous, and just, except for through the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. One author says it like this. He says, "We must always remember that union with Christ is possible because of the Son's descent to earth, not because of our ascent into heaven. Union is possible because he came to us. We could not go to him. The basis of our union with Christ is Christ's union with us in the incarnation. He became one of us so that we might become one with him." C.S. Lewis says it this way: "Non-Christians seem to think that the incarnation implies some particular merit or excellence in humanity. But of course, it implies just the reverse," he says. "A particular demerit or depravity. No creature that deserves redemption would need to be redeemed. They that are whole need not a physician," he says. "Christ died for men precisely because men needed forgiveness to make them holy before God. Jesus came to give us what we could not have on our own." So the title of this morning's message is this: The Miracles of Christmas Beyond the Birth Itself. At Christmas time, we often remember and are reminded of the birth of Jesus Christ, and we wonder and stand in amazement of all that God has done. But there's other things that are taking place that are being orchestrated by God. As I mentioned already, when we think of Christmas, our minds often go to the manger, to the shepherds, to the star. But the miracle of Christmas is far beyond just the birth of Christ, because God is working all these things to align and to work for the deliverance of the salvation of mankind. The birth of Christ, if we look at it this morning, as we look at it this morning, is a display of God. It's a display of who he is. It's a display of God's sovereignty, of how he orchestrates and moves in the hearts of men to bring forth in the fulfillment of prophecy. The birth of Christ is a display of God's faithfulness, that He promised He would send a Savior, and He did. He did according to His word. He is fulfilling His prophecy. So it's a display of His faithfulness, but it's also a display of the power of God. Is there anything too big for our God? Is there anything He is not able to do? And we're going to see this morning how He worked in the lives of people that were surrounding the virgin birth, how He worked in the lives of the prophets to write the prophecies concerning Jesus Christ. And it shows the power of God, that God is working in perfect harmony, that the miracle of Christmas is, yes, the miracle of the birth of Christ, but it is also the miracle of God's plan unfolding exactly as He ordained. I thought this idea would be fitting because we live in a world with so many questions and so many doubts and so many things that we wonder, what's going to happen? When is it going to take place? And how is all this going to work out? And I would imagine some of the same questions were in the hearts of mankind leading up to these events. But we see that God demonstrated His faithfulness and His power as His plan unfolded exactly as He ordained it to with the birth of Christ. So the first thing we'll look at just briefly this morning is the birth of Christ is the miracle of fulfilled prophecy. The miracle of fulfilled prophecy. You can study all kinds of Old Testament prophecies. You can study the prophecies that Christ not only fulfilled at His birth, but in His life and in His death. It was demonstrated throughout the Scripture that Jesus Christ was the Messiah and is the Messiah because of the fulfillment of prophecies that was written in the Old Testament concerning Him. One such prophecy was what I read you in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse number 14, where the Bible said, "The Lord will give you a sign." Now, what is a sign? Something that you see, something that is visible, something that gets your attention. If you're driving down the road and you see a road sign that says speed limit 55, right? It gets your attention. If you're coming into town, Ray's like, no, it doesn't, right? If you're coming into town and you're driving, let's say right here by past the gas station, and the town has these speed limit signs, and they flash at you if you're going too fast. I would not know that by experience. I've seen it happen to other people, though. And anyway, and it gets your attention, and it gets you, it makes you realize what's going on. But the Bible says in the book of Isaiah that God is going to give you a sign. Here's the sign. That Christ would be born of a virgin. That Christ would not have a human father, but would be conceived by a miracle through the Holy Spirit. For the Bible says, "I will give you a sign, a virgin shall conceive," the Bible says, "and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel." The miracle in addition to just the birth, is the miracle of the fulfilled prophecy in Jesus Christ. Not only did God give a sign through Isaiah chapter 7 and verse number 14, but Micah chapter 5 and verse number 2, which I'm sure you're familiar with, tells you the location of the birth of Christ. God is orchestrating these things. We see depicted in Christmas plays of Mary and Joseph coming into Bethlehem, but God orchestrated that arrival in fulfillment for prophecy. God has ordained this to take place. He fulfilled prophecy. His lineage, His birthplace, and even the timing of His birth was ordained and set by God. Matthew 1 reveals His genealogy. Luke 3 reveals another portion of the genealogy, all indicating His line to the throne of David, presenting Him as the Messiah. God guided the events. Isaiah 7:14 talks about His virgin birth. Micah 5:2 talks about His birthplace. 2 Samuel 7 and Jeremiah talk about Him being a descendant of David. Genesis 49 talks about Him coming from Judah. Jeremiah 31 talks about the slaughter of innocent leading up to what was taking place in that time where Herod was killing the children that were going to be born. And we also see predictions in the Old Testament concerning His worship and what would take place. Jesus is who He says He is. He fulfilled prophecy after prophecy. The miracle of Christmas is the fulfillment of prophecy through the Lord Jesus Christ. None of us have a clue even what's going to take place tomorrow. But God predicted exactly how Christ would come, who He would come through, and what He would do. So the miracle of Christmas and the miracle of Christ, beyond just a birth, is the fulfillment of Jesus and the fulfillment of prophecy. We could go into this on and on. But the second thing, take your Bibles and go to the book of Galatians, chapter number 4. I love this chapter. I say that all the time, don't I? But Galatians chapter number 4, it talks about Jesus. It says in Galatians 4 and verse number 4, the second thing we look at as far as the miracle of Christ is His perfect timing. Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God, He says, sent forth, verse 4 says, sent forth His Son. This is talking about God and His perfect plan and His first perfect timing. He sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. And then verse 5 tells us the purpose of this sending, to redeem or to purchase or pay for those that were under the law. In verse number 5, He says this, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Jesus Christ came to provide something for us that we did not have without Him. And He came according to the plan of God, at the time of God, according to the purpose of God. So the miracle of Christmas is God's timing. It's God's fulfillment of prophecy. Rome is ruling. Israel is groaning under this bondage. The world is sitting in spiritual darkness. And yet, in that exact moment, Jesus comes in to the earth in the right time. We could apply this several ways. The Christmas story shows us that God is never behind schedule. He moves with divine precision. How many times in your life, I wonder, have you been waiting for an answer? And you've wondered, when will this take place? Or you've wondered, Lord, has it not gotten bad enough yet? Is it not time for You to come back? What is going on here? We may ask those questions, but even the birth of Christ shows us that God is working according to His divine precision. He is working all things for good to them that love Him, to them that are called according to His purpose. The Bible says, in the fullness of time, in the right time, God sent forth His Son. If you study the Old Testament or study the Bible, you realize that at the conclusion of the end of the Old Testament, there was 400 years of silence, it's called. No new books, no things are happening, no word from God. John the Baptist comes on the scene, and then Christ comes on the scene. We recognize that God sent forth His Son at the perfect time. Don't doubt God's timing. The third thing that Christ displays, or that Christmas displays, is the miracle of divine guidance. The miracle of divine guidance. Go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, quickly. The book of Proverbs, chapter number 16, and verse number 9. I would imagine you would recognize this verse. Proverbs, chapter 16, and verse number 9. The Bible says this, a man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his step. Christmas reveals the divine guidance of God. Mary and Joseph, He led the shepherds. He led Mary and Joseph. He guided the wise men by a star. He warned Joseph in a dream. Nothing was random. The census, the journey to Bethlehem, the open stable were all under God's control. I love to think of that. My life can be so chaotic at times. Any witness like that, right? Oh, it's chaotic. It's here, it's there, it's going different places, right? But I'm reminded of God's guidance. Sometimes when you're moving forward, it's hard to recognize what direction you're going. But I know in my life, when I look back, I see the guidance in the direction of God. I see how He has led me certain places at certain times, in certain situations, to certain people, and that God guides our lives. The birth of Christ is a demonstration of the guidance and the direction of God. As I said, He directed Mary and Joseph. He led the shepherds. He guided the wise men. He warned Joseph in a dream. The census and the journey to Bethlehem, all guided by God. And that's why Proverbs says this, "But the Lord directeth his steps." How many times I'm so glad the Lord directed my steps and I wasn't going in the way that I wanted to go, but God led me in his direction. So the miracle of Christmas is the fulfillment of prophecy. The miracle of Christmas is a display of God's guidance. The miracle of Christmas is understanding what God is doing. And then fourth, as we see, go to Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 13. Again, what we're looking at is the miracle of Christmas beyond just the birth itself. Looking how God was moving, how God was working, how God was orchestrating. I don't know about you, but these bring great peace to my life as I'm reminded of God working and directing. So Matthew chapter number 2 and verse number 13, the Bible says this, "And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." Well, what does this tell us? The miracle of Christmas beyond just the birth. We see the fulfilled prophecies. We see what Christ is doing there. We see the timing of God from Galatians 4. We see the miracle of God's guidance, as I just mentioned, but it also shows the miracle of God's protection. The miracle of God's protection. Herod sought to destroy the child. He sent an angel to Joseph. It says, Joseph, flee to Egypt in verse number 13, for Herod will seek to kill the child. The same God who protected his son, I believe, protects and guides over us today. Christmas shows us the protection of God. Have you seen and witness the protection of God in your life? How He has worked to help you. We could all probably tell stories about what God has done in our lives. I've told you the story of driving in New Mexico and hitting a flash flood at 70 miles an hour. The protection of God. And how He works and how He guides and how He leads. I imagine if our eyes were open for a moment to see what God has done, to see what He's protected us from, the flat tire beside the road that we're angry about, not knowing we've been spared from something up the road that could have hurt us or harmed us. God is working. God protects. He works. And that is demonstrated here with Christ. And we also understand that He works in our lives and gives us protection. The miracle of Christmas, beyond just a birth, is the working of God, the fulfillment of prophecies, the implementation of God's perfect timing, the miracle of God's guidance, and the miracle of His protection. And then go to Luke chapter 2 for number 5 this morning. Luke chapter number 2, and I can't comprehend everything that's taking place, what God has done. But Luke chapter 2 and verse number 14, remember we read this last week, but the Bible says in verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men." The phrase that catches my eye in verse number 14 is when He says, "and on earth." What is happening here? Christmas is the miracle of heaven touching earth. Angels filled the night sky. Glory shone upon the shepherds. A star announces the birth of the King. Creation itself is responding to the arrival of the Savior. And He says, on earth, God is intervening in the history of mankind. He is coming to save a sinful, depraved situation in society. Peace, He says, on earth in verse number 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill towards men. In other words, God is moving. God is working. He has sent Christ to give life to mankind, to give peace and forgiveness of sin, the miracle of what God is doing through Christ. Number five, but let me just give you 5B here, 5A. The birth of Christ is also a demonstration of the love of God. And I mentioned that last week, so I wasn't going to go into it big time this week. But remember, in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, the Bible says, but God commendeth or shows his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He's working, he's moving. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So how do we apply these things? These points I've given you this morning, these verses, how do we apply this as we celebrate the birth of Christ, as we're reminded of what Christ has done? This is how it applies to my life, and I think it will apply to yours as well. In your life, look and see the mighty hand of God directing every step. Look and see the mighty hand of God fulfilling every promise, protecting every moment, and providing his love through every detail through what Christ has done. We are reminded at Christmas time of the miracle of his birth, the miracle of God's plan, the miracle of his faithfulness, and the miracle of his love breaking into this world that needed a Savior. So let me ask you a question this morning. Do you know Christ as your Savior? This is God's plan for mankind. God has done this not just to make a unique story, but it was done for a specific purpose, for a specific people. And you are the people. And the purpose is forgiveness of sin through what Jesus Christ has done upon the cross and through his death, burial, and resurrection. Have you trusted Christ? As verses I quote all the time, there's not another way for salvation. There's no other way to God. There's no plan B. Christ is the plan for the salvation of mankind. The law does not save. Baptism does not save. Good works do not save. But Jesus Christ saves. The Bible says he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to give his life, a ransom for many. And God orchestrated this birth and showed his power and his plan and fulfillment of prophecy as a sign for you, so you could be forever in heaven. I have a bad habit in my house of burning everything I can find. Well, I had a bunch of cardboard yesterday, and I decided I would use that for free fuel in the fireplace. I don't know if it was a good idea or not, but I did it. So I'm sitting there with a razor knife just cutting pieces of cardboard, right? And I'm just putting it in the stove, and just having a big time and enjoying myself. And I went to go put another piece of cardboard, and I opened the fireplace door, and it's just, oh, it's so hot. And I looked to the kids that were sitting behind me, and I said, kids, don't go to hell. You know, it's that hot. Do you want to be separated from God forever in hell? Do you want to be in a place that God has prepared for the devil and his angels? Well, the only way to not be in hell for all eternity is through Jesus Christ, which has come through the plan of God to save us from hell. You remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus? Whew. He dies. He's comforted his whole life. Lazarus is not. He has nothing. The rich man dies and awakes in hell. Lazarus is in Abraham's bosom, that we can talk about all that that means. But the rich man says, could someone go back and tell my family to not come here? No, it's too late. If they have the prophets. They have the people to tell them. He says, could I just have a drop of water to cool my tongue from this torment I'm in? No. My friends, I do not preach to scare you, but I do preach the truth. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. We are the lost without Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, if you leave this earth, you will be separated forever from God in hell. You don't want to be there. So that's why God sent His Son into the world. He demonstrated and showed it through the fulfillment of prophecy. He shows, I'm going to give you a sign. You'll know who He is. He's going to come at the right time, according to Galatians 4, to redeem them that were under the law, so you could become have the adoption of son. I'm going to show you my guidance and direction and my power through what guiding and directing Mary and Joseph. I'll show you my protection and preserving the Messiah by sending him to Egypt. I'll show you that I've come to earth to save those which were lost. And I will demonstrate my love to man, as Romans 5:8 says. My friend, I've heard it said this way. I can't remember who said it. I wish I could, because it's a great saying. There's an older writer that said this. He said, if you won't weep for your sin and come to Christ, he said, I would weep for you and come to Him. This is more about lights and all the things that we've done. God has sent a Savior to the earth. He has come to redeem us from the curse of sin, from the penalty of death. We did not need a doctor. We needed a Savior. And that's who Christ is. And He has come to give His life a ransom for many. Do you remember a time in your life where you have trusted Christ? I told this story. I know I told it on Wednesday night. I don't know if I've told it on Sunday morning. I may have. But there was a time in my life, for those that have heard this, I apologize. They say it's okay to repeat yourself as long as you know you are. Maybe that's true. I don't know. But I was a man that was doing work in our church in Edgewood, New Mexico. He was working on the heating system. And the Lord told me, Josh, go talk to him about the Lord. I was busy. I didn't go. 2 weeks later, I was out inviting people to church. I ran into the man's mom. She said, my son knows you. I said, yes. He worked at the church for heating and ventilation. I said, how is he doing? She said, he's dead. I said, you're kidding. I said, what happened to him? She said, just last week, he was carrying a ventilation pipe into another building he was working on, and he had a brain aneurysm, and he died. I didn't know he was going to die. If I would have known he was going to die, I would have got up from my desk and went in there and talked to him more about Christ. But God knew. And He told me to go talk to him, and I didn't. I was too busy doing church work. What a joke. And he died, and I don't know to this day whether he knew the Lord or not. My friends, the greatest decision you could ever make is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. God sent His Son into the world to save you from your sins. Have you ever trusted Christ? Have you ever put your faith in Him? Have you been forgiven of your sins? Christ came to save. He came to forgive. He came to give His life and to demonstrate what God was doing. But what you need to do is this, and this is how I illustrate it. God, through Christ, has already reached His hand down to you. That is what He did through Christ. It is His hand reaching down to earth. But let me ask you a question. Have you reached your hand up to His? He's reached to you. Have you reached to Him by faith in what He has done for mankind? Joanna's going to come and play a song for us on the piano. Let's bow our heads together for just a moment. Let's bow our heads together. Christmas is certainly a time where we are reminded of all that God has done. We're reminded of the miracle of His prophecy, the miracle of His timing, the miracle of His guidance, the miracle of His protection, the miracle of what He is doing in coming to earth. miracle of his love. Let's bow our heads together, as I've already mentioned. I wonder who would be honest with me this morning and say, Josh, I know I have trusted Christ as my Savior. Would you raise your hand? He's my Savior. I've trusted Him. I've trusted Him. Thank you. Many, many, many hands. I wonder if there's anyone in here today that would say, Josh, I need to be saved. I've never trusted Christ. He's reached His hand to me, but I've never reached to Him by faith in what He has done. Anyone in here like that that would raise your hand and say, Josh, pray for me. I've never been saved. Anyone at all? Josh, pray for me. I've never been saved. You can raise your hand. Anyone at all? Pray for me. I've never been saved. Thank you. Let me ask you another question today. We get so caught up in all the festivities and all the things of this time of year, but are we really remembering what this is about? Are we really remembering that this is about Christ and what He has done for mankind? Take a moment there in your seat and talk to the Lord. Say, Lord, put my mind back upon You. Lord, may I be reminded of Your prophecies, Your provision, Your guidance, Your direction in my life. Let me feel and know of Your love. Just take a moment and thank God for all that He has done through Christ. You can look back up here at this time. We praise God for what He has done. May our hearts and minds be directed towards the work of God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Monty's going to put our final verse up this morning. Let's stand to our feet together, and we'll read our verse. I love John 1:14. Let's read this together with all our hearts to the Lord. Are we ready? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:14. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Jesus. Thank You that we don't have to go to hell because of Him. Thank You for the work upon the cross. Peace on earth because of You, because of what You have done. Lord, we thank You for Your promise and for Your plan and for Your provision and Your guidance and direction and for Your love. May we stand in awe of all that You are and all that You have done. Lord, may our hearts be turned towards You. If there be any here today that have never trusted Christ, we know You have reached Your hand down to earth through Christ. May we, by faith, reach towards You and Your Son. We pray, God, that You would guide us and direct us. We thank You for all You've done. Keep us safe as we go our separate ways. Be with this brief meeting we'll have this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.